Campus FM jipprezenta l-aħħar taħdita minn serje ta' taħdidiet organizzati mid-Dipartiment tal-Malti fl-Università flimkien mal-Kunsill Nazzjonali tal-Lisim Malti. It-taħdita tal-lum Linguistic Typology, Where Does Maltese Belong? Taħdita fejn il-kellem ewlieni huwa il-professur Thomas Stoltz.
Today I want to ask an interesting question because you know that languages can be classified according to different principles. There's the genetic principle, there's a common ancestor to the languages, and they belong to one language family. There's another principle, that's the typological principle. Languages which aren't necessarily related to each other because of a common ancestor share common features. Their grammatical structure is similar. That's the typological feature. And then there is another kind of classification that is according to geography in a way. Languages spoken in one and the same area share features without belonging to the same type of languages and without belonging to the same family. And I will look at Maltese in terms of what is called European area linguistics, that is the geographical organization or distribution of features of languages across the European continent. What I want to know is how many features are shared by Maltese and certain other languages of Europe, and if there is a high number of features shared by languages with Maltese, these languages somehow belong together, and we will look whether this sharing features has anything to do with genetics, that is family membership, or typology, structural similarity, or neighborhood. So I look at Maltese from the European perspective. You can take the table of contents, yes. Of course, there's the introduction, that's already what you're currently being exposed to. Then I look at certain features of Maltese and so-called European isoglosses. An isogloss is a line you draw on a map of Europe that joins all the languages that share a common feature. That's the isogloss. And Maltese has a number of isoglosses with other European languages. And some of them you find in phonology and others in grammar. Then I will produce, on the basis of that, a cluster map. I will explain what that is, a cluster map. And finally, there are some conclusions. The setting is like this. In Europe, you find mostly Indo-European languages. And then there is one Afro-Asiatic language, that's Maltese. If you look at Indo-European and Afro-Asiatic as two large language families, in linguistic terminology, that's macrophylum. These are two distinct macrophyla. They are geographical neighbors. The Indo-European languages are mostly spoken to the north of the Afro-Asiatic languages. But they are structurally diverse. They're not identical. So Afro-Asiatic languages, the prototypical Afro-Asiatic languages, the language has different properties different from the ones you find in Indo-European languages and vice versa. Maltese is an Afro-Asiatic language, as a Neo-Arabic variety, whose present shape is the outcome of age-long contact with members of the Indo-European macrophylum, especially with Italo-Romance languages, and Maltese has acquired Indo-European structural traits. The question that will lead us or guide us through this presentation is how European is Maltese nowadays, maybe even how Indo-European is Maltese nowadays. So there is a tradition of area linguistics of Europe. You know that there are a number of large-scale projects, international projects in the past two decades. There was the Eurotype project, where hundreds of scholars studied the entire population of European languages in order to determine whether there is a certain structural Europeanness to these languages, no matter to what language family they belong? Is there a certain set of properties all European languages share, whether they are Caucasian languages, Indo-European languages, Altaic languages, Uralo-Yukaghir languages, and so on? What one of the results of the Eurotype project is that there is a core in Europe, sometimes called the Charlemagne Sprachbund or linguistic area, composed of French, Dutch, and German, the languages which share the highest number of structural features, and they are surrounded by a number of other languages which gradually diminish the number of shared features. The further east you go, the less European a language looks. The further south you go, the less European a language looks. It's a kind of center and periphery organization. After the Eurotype project, Italian colleagues have started another kind of area linguistic project that's called MetType, that takes care of the languages spoken around the Mediterranean, on both sides of the Mediterranean. So Indo-European languages of Europe are compared with Afro-Asiatic languages of Northern Africa and the Levant, and Turkish including. Previous research has shown that Maltese has structural traits in common with a variety of languages spoken not only in its vicinity on European soil. That is unexpected from a genetic perspective, because if we think this is a Neo-Arabic variety, we expect Maltese to have mostly Semitic features. All of you know Maltese doesn't have only Semitic features. And the non-Semitic features are largely features you find in other languages in Europe, for example. So far, however, no attempt has been made at a systematic stock-taking of the shared features between European languages and Maltese. We still do not know exactly how European Maltese behaves typologically speaking. It's just a kind of catchphrase that there is something non-Semitic in Maltese, but what does that mean? How European is Maltese? The following is a first step in the direction of a future aerial typological evaluation of Maltese. Now have a look at phonology first. There is a map. I will show the workings, the distribution, the geographical distribution of long vowels and long consonants as distinctive elements in the language. As you know, there are minimal pairs in Maltese. You have a long U in cool and a short one in kul, and the length of the two vowels is helps distinguishing two words with different meanings. So the vowel length is a distinctive phonematically distinctive feature. The same applies to consonants. You have rikep, but also rikkep, where the consonant is clearly longer in the second example than in the first one. Whether you call it long consonants or geminate consonants or double consonants doesn't matter. You mean the same thing in a way. So Maltese has phonemically distinctive long vowels and phonemically distinctive long consonants. Now have a look at the map. How many languages share this feature? I have to say something about the abbreviations I use for the names. Here is Maltese. It's Malt in this list. And now I have to go through the entire population of languages here. There are 50 languages altogether of Europe, and they are distributed on this transparency roughly according to their location on a map, a geographical map of Europe. The abbreviation for the language is put roughly there where the center of the state is found in which the language is dominantly spoken. Let's start here in the northwest. This is Icelandic, Faroese, Scots Gaelic, Irish, Welsh, Breton, Basque, Portuguese, Spanish, Catalan, Sardinian, Maltese, Italian, Occitan, French, English, Dutch, Frisian, Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, Sami, Finnish, Estonian, Latvian, Lithuanian, German, Czech, Slovak, Hungarian, Slovenian, Serbo-Croatian, nowadays perhaps only Serbian or Croatian, Albanian, Greek, Macedonian, Bulgarian, Romanian, Polish, Ukrainian, Belarusian, Russian, Mordvin, Chuvash, Bashkir, Tatar, Turkish, Kurdish, Georgian, Armenian, and Azeri or Azerbaijani. These are the 50 languages of the sample, all spoken in Europe, and you see that my idea of Europe includes the whole territory, national territory of Turkey, and the Transcaucasian states, Georgia, Armenia, and Azerbaijan. So these are all included, and now look at it. There is a nicely delimited area where languages in Europe have phonemic vowel length. Inside this line, you find languages that distinguish short and long vowels phonemically. My native German, for example. And then there is Maltese. Maltese shares the feature of vowel length with the languages there, but in between there's a gap, there's a geographical gap. Maltese is an outlier area for the vowel length, whereas the bulk of the languages is spoken in the northwest of Europe. In addition, you have the phonemic consonantal length, long consonants. You find this only in Finnish, Estonian, Hungarian, Italian, Sardinian, and Maltese. So Maltese shares some features with languages spoken far off the Mediterranean, Hungarian and Finnish and Estonian, and two neighboring languages. That is a first hint at what will happen later with all the other features we look at. But you see, the two areas are somehow disconnected. There is no continuous area, but a large area and a smaller one here. Now, look at it from a global scale. On a global scale, phonemic quantity correlations, that's the distinction of short and long vowels or consonants, are typologically marked, meaning they occur only in a minority of languages worldwide. However, they occur in a variety of languages spoken in Europe, both Indo-European and other. You have seen there were Germanic languages, typically Indo-European languages like German, and also Finno-Ugric languages, which are not in a genetic relationship with the Indo-European languages like Finnish, Estonian, and Hungarian, plus Czech, Slavic languages, and the Celtic languages. Distinctive vowel length is widespread, especially in Western Europe, whereas phonemic consonantal length or germination, is a much rarer feature. Maltese belongs to the small group of languages in Europe which allow for both vowel length and consonantal length, together with the Finno-Ugric languages Finnish, Estonian, Hungarian. All of them are non-Indo-European. So in a way, Maltese behaves like a non-Indo-European language, and that is what we expect. But not all non-Indo-European languages of Europe have the same feature. So this is just a group of selected few. Now let's look at grammar as the next map. This is so-called the case relation. Some languages, my native German again, have morphological case, that is the noun changes its outer shape according to the syntactic function the noun has in a sentence. There are subject case, object case, genitive case, indirect object case, sometimes called dative, genitive, and accusative, and nominative. In Maltese, nouns are not sensitive to case, that is, they occur in the same morphological shape independent of the syntactic function they fulfill in a given sentence. You have these sentences, aluraj keken princep alb serietak bira, that's the one, keken princep is subject in this case, udanu kifin sirtnaf li keken princep. Chkeken princep in this case, and then the second version, is not the subject, it's kind of object. So chkeken princep remains the same, morphologically speaking, in both the sentences. In German, there would be a difference because the one is nominative, the other one is accusative, and the same counts for other languages as well. So this identity is indicative of the absence of morphological case in Maltese. That's not a disadvantage for a language, and we will see that this is shared, a feature shared by a lot of languages. As you see, Maltese shares the feature of absence of case, morphological case distinctions with a wide variety of languages reaching from the south up to the North Cape, in a way. You may wonder why English is there. There's the genitive S in English, but that's a clitic. It's not really a case marker in the sense of a bound morphology. I don't want to go into that because that's a really technical question. You can discount English as a case language. English has no case on nouns. It has case on pronouns, but that's a different story. So you can find that Maltese shares this feature again with Italian and Sardinian, but then with a wide range of other languages, all of which happen to be Indo-European languages. There's not a single non-Indo-European language except Maltese in Europe which lacks case, morphological case. It's a typical Western European feature, if you look at this. The further east you go, the more morphological cases you find on nouns. There's one exception, Basque, which has up to 15 cases and is spoken in the extreme west. So morphological case marking on nouns is globally widespread. A large number of languages has morphological case, but absence of morphological case distinctions is equally common among the languages of the words. There's no majority, real majority, either of the two solutions. In Europe, the absence of case inflection is typical of the languages spoken on a stretch of territory, as you saw, which reaches from Malta in the south to the North Cape in Norway. And there's no family relation between Norwegian and Maltese, as you know. Maltese shares this feature with many Indo-European languages of various phyla, that's subfamilies of Indo-European, Romance languages, Germanic languages, Celtic languages, Slavic languages, and Kurdish, included Iranian. Note that there is no other non-Indo-European language of Europe which lacks morphological case. In this way, Maltese is exceptional among the non-Indo-European languages. Now we look at gender. That's gender in the grammatical sense, map 3. Gender distinctions belong to the devices of classification employed by languages. There are other devices to classify nouns, for example, not only gender. Proper gender systems are typical of certain areas on the world map, for instance, Europe. Maltese has a binary gender system. There are only two distinctions, two categories, with a distinction of masculine versus feminine. You have masculine Tifel, feminine Tifla, masculine Habib, feminine Habiba, for example. These are the typical examples you can. Now let's have a look. Gender distinctions. This time the languages surrounded by the isogloss are the ones which lack gender distinctions. You see, in the most of the western part of Europe, from the north down to the south, there are gender languages, languages which at least have two genders. The further east you go, the higher the probability that you find a non-gender language. English is a non-gender language because you don't really distinguish on nouns that there are two genders. We know that there are some lexical segments in English where the pronoun, the anaphorical pronoun, would be she and not it, or he and not it, but that's just a minority. It's not really a working gender system. Basque has no gender and Hungarian has no gender. These are the three languages which are exceptional in the bulk of the European languages, whereas in the East, gender is the exception. Kurdish is the only language, and that's Indo-European, and all other languages here in the far east of Europe are non-Indo-European languages. And if you look at this, Hungarian is, again, a non-Indo-European language, and Basque is a non-European language. Maltese is a non-European language, but has this feature of distinguishing gender with about 30 Indo-European languages. There are, of course, differences in the gender systems. Not all are identical to the system of Maltese. Maltese has this binary system. Quite a few other languages have also a binary system. Then there are languages with a ternary system. You have masculine, feminine, neuter. And then there are other binary systems with neuter and what is called utrum, or common gender. So there's one gender for masculine and feminine together, in a way. Those languages which have an exact copy of what we see in Maltese are Italian, Sardinian, Catalan, Portuguese, Rhaeto-Romance, Occitan, French, Welsh, Irish, Scots, Gaelic, Breton, and Kurdish, and all the others deviate. Either they have a third gender, the neuter, or they have the common gender for masculine and feminine and a neuter. So with the notable exception of English and Basque and Hungarian, of course, in the West, and the non-Indo-European languages in the North and East, all European languages employ gender systems. Binary systems compete with ternary ones, masculine, feminine, and neuter. Among the languages with binary systems, there is a split into those which distinguish common gender from neuter and those which operate on the masculine-feminine distinction. The latter is shared by Maltese and a variety of Romance, Celtic, and Baltic languages. So the next is definiteness marking. Maltese has a definite article. By far not all languages of the world employ obligatory means to distinguish definite noun phrases from indefinite ones. This is different for Europe, for instance, where many languages make use of full-blown, mostly definite articles, or bound definiteness markers. There's a suffix mostly on words marking definiteness. Maltese has a definite article, which is a proclitic, that's technical, of course, yeah, of the first content word of the NP. Indefinite pianeta, il pianeta. Zauj nisa, is zauj nisa. So you see there's the clitical element here, the definite article, and that's the indefinite form. And now we look at the map and look at other languages which have a definite article. So this map is reminiscent of the previous one, because there in the East, there is the absence of definiteness marking. Here, these languages all do not have definite articles. The languages here have special kinds of definiteness marking. Latvian and Lithuanian only mark the definiteness when there is an adjective as an attribute in the language, not with a definite article, but with a definiteness marker. The same applies to Slovenian and Serbo-Croatian. Basque has only an indefinite article or specifier, and then there is some problem with Turkish. Turkish has some kind of an indefinite article. All the other languages here, that is almost the same population as on the map before, have the same system as Maltese. There's a definite article. Some of them also have an indefinite article. Maltese, Sardinian, Italian, Catalan, and so on. And you could see it is, again, mostly a Western European affair. Some languages here on the Balkans and in the far north of Europe have definite articles which are suffixes on the noun or another element of the nominal phrase, and perhaps this can count as a different solution to the problem of definiteness marking. Definiteness marking is well established in Western Europe, whereas it is rarely attested in the eastern half of the continent. There are several ways to encode definiteness, as I told you. Latvian, Lithuanian, Slovenian, Serbo-Croatian mark definiteness only on attributive adjectives. In Basque, the putative definiteness marker is rather a marker of specificity. That's a tricky problem. I don't want to explain that. It's not really a definite article. Many languages employ suffixes on nouns to mark definiteness. The Maltese strategy to use clitic-like pre-nominal articles is the most common strategy of definiteness marking, which occurs in Romance languages, Celtic, Germanic, and Greek. So now we come to syntax, in a way. SVO word order, that's the order of subject, verb, and object in a transitive sentence. A major typological parameter for the classification of languages is word order, more specifically the order in which subject, verb, and object normally occur in a transitive sentence. It's not about intransitive sentences, it's not about copular sentences, it's about transitive sentences. The most common word orders are subject, object, verb, or SOV, and subject, verb, object, SVO. The details are still a matter of dispute. They are roughly both about 39% of the languages of the world. Then there is a minority of VSO languages and VOS languages, and all languages with objects as the first element in a transitive sentences are very, very rare. So according to the usual criteria, Maltese is a representative of SVO word order, which is of course relatively free because of pragmatic factors. You see here, for example, l'astronomo regia amel il vire teu, subject, object, and in between there is the verb, but you can vary that in Maltese, of course, because if you want to emphasize one part of the sentence, you can just invert the order or find another way of topicalization, for example. So the word order here, again, shows that Maltese belongs to a solid block of languages here, more or less in the center of Europe, reaching from the far south to the northernmost part of Europe, and there are some deviating languages. The Celtic languages here have verb initial word order, so the verb precedes the subject and the object, and the other ones are languages where the verb comes last in a transitive sentence, so they are SOVs languages, subject precedes object precedes verb in these cases. All the other languages are more or less similar to Maltese in preferring SVO word order. The details are often very complicated. So in Europe, SVO word order dominates. With the exception of Hungarian, different word orders are only attested on the fringes of the continent, Basque and Celtic, and then on the other side. VSO word order occurs in the Celtic phylum, whereas SOV is attested in the easternmost languages and Basque and Hungarian. SOV word order is exclusively attested in non-Indo-European languages. None of the Indo-European languages in Europe has verb final word order. There is some discussion about the word order in my native German and Dutch. Sometimes it's claimed that there is a component of verb final constructions in German, but this is really a theory-dependent interpretation. You could say, okay, we can go along with SVO. Maltese shares its word order with the bulk of the Indo-European languages of Europe, plus the northern branch of the Finno-Ugric family. The susceptibility of Maltese word order to pragmatics is another factor which lets the language resemble its next-door neighbors in the Mediterranean, Italian, for instance. If you claim that Italian is an SVO language, that is only half of the truth, because in Italian, too, you can change the word order according to pragmatic principles. If you emphasize something, you can either put something in front of the verb or move it to the right side, and this has to do with focus and pragmatic emphasis. So this word order is still rather flexible. French and English have much stricter word order rules than the other languages with SVO word order. In French, you can hardly deviate from the word order, for example. So now, accusative alignment. So that's very difficult to explain, and I fear that I will fail to explain it to the linguistic layman properly, so just believe me what I say. The vast majority of the languages of the world display so-called accusative alignment. That is, no difference is made between subjects of intransitive clauses and subjects of transitive clauses. Where such a difference is formally made, the languages are said to display ergative alignment. Maltese follows the lead of the majority and is a bona fide case of accusative alignment. You see, you have an intransitive subject here, is that Schkeken Princep Stajeb, and a transitive, Alura Schkeken Princep Immansach Lil Volpi. In both cases, it is subject, and it is formally identical. A language like Basque or Georgian would have different forms for the subjects. In an intransitive sentence, form A, in a transitive sentence, form B. Now, this is a very boring map because there are only two exceptions, exactly the two I mentioned. It's Basque and Georgian are the only non-accusative languages in my sample of Europe. There are some more here in the Caucasian region. They are ergative languages. All other languages are like Maltese. They are accusative languages. So Maltese shares these features with 47 other languages of Europe. So that was easy. And there's very, very short passage here. Accusative alignment is practically without competitor in Europe. There are only two ergative languages in my sample, namely Basque and Georgian, which are both allocated on the rims of the continent. They're not there right in the middle. They are somewhere on the fringes. All other languages have the same alignment as Maltese. Now, pro-drop. That's another technical term. The languages of the world can be coarsely divided into two major classes according to whether or not, in the absence of a lexical subject, they need a pronominal subject to make an utterance grammatically acceptable. Languages which make do without a pronominal subject are commonly labeled pro-drop languages, whereas the members of the opposite class are pro-languages. So English is a pro-language, because if you drop a lexical NP as a subject, the lorry driver went home, you drop the lorry driver, which is the subject, and have went home. That's impossible as a grammatical utterance in English. You must have he went home. So you need a subject pronoun. There are other languages, for example, Maltese, where you aren't forced by grammar to put in a subject pronoun. You do that in Maltese in order to emphasize, for example. So Maltese is a good representative of the pro-drop type. Here's a sentence, Kintal femali ad aktar makkelu aj yerjalura. There are three finite verbs, verb, 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 but in the third person singular, but there is neither a lexical subject nor a pronominal subject. So you can do without a separate word representing the subject in the sentence. It's all in the verb. Now have a look. This map is almost as boring as the previous one because it's very clear-cut distinction. In the south and east, you see languages that behave like Maltese. All of them are pro-drop languages and strict pro-drop languages. There must be very special conditions in order to make speakers of the language use a subject pronoun. In this area here, where you find practically all Germanic languages plus French, the languages use obligatorily a subject pronoun. There has to be a subject pronoun. More or less the same is true of Latvian, although you can find some contexts where you can drop the pronoun. The same holds for Estonian. And there is some dispute as to the Celtic languages, all of them, Scots, Gaelic, Irish, Welsh, Breton. There's a huge difference between the written variety and the spoken variety. In the spoken varieties, the pronouns are almost obligatory. In the written variety, they're still somehow compulsory. So, but as you see, these areas are neighbors. So this is the area where you have to use the pronouns. And there are the neighboring areas where there is a tendency to use the pronouns. And then comes the next area where it is more or less the exception when you use the pronouns. So Maltese behaves like the vast southern and eastern area of Europe. In Europe, pro-drop is a very widespread property, which is especially strong in the southern and eastern regions of the continent. In the northwest, however, languages abound which have obligatory pronominal subjects, and these are the members of the Germanic phylum plus French. Immediately outside this area, there are other languages, Celtic, Latvian, Estonian, which are about to become pro-languages. Everywhere else in Europe, languages tend to behave like Maltese. Maltese is thus similar to Romance, Slavic languages, Greek, Albanian, Kurdish, and Armenian, but also to non-Indo-European languages such as Finnish and Georgian. On a global scale, pro-drop languages are in the majority, so pro-languages are a minority. Now, total reduplication. In literally thousands of the world's languages, total reduplication, that is iteration of words in utterance, is employed for a variety of purposes, many of which belong to the fuzzy zone between grammar and style. You can't always say that is grammar, and you can't always decide whether it is style or grammar. Maltese makes liberal use of total reduplication in order to express intensity, distributive, prolative, and so on. Here's another sentence taken from the Maltese translation of Le Petit Prince. In Assam, il viaggiatore attat 11, 11-11 is a reduplication in this kind, in groups of thousands. Yeah? This 11-11 is just one example. There are literally hundreds and thousands of examples you can find. Now look here. Total reduplication is frequently made use of in these languages here. That is Sardinian, Italian, Albanian, Greek, Macedonian, Bulgarian, Romanian, Hungarian, Turkish, Kurdish, Georgian, and so on. And then there is a little gap. These are unclear cases because the normative grammars discourage the use of total reduplication, and so you don't find total reduplication in literary texts, for example. And speakers, if you ask them, they behave very normatively oriented, so they say, no, we never use reduplication. And then you find that a liberal use of total reduplication in the languages here in the West, Scots Gaelic, all the Celtic languages plus Basque, and then there's another little center here, Finnish and Estonian, and perhaps including Sami. But then the center part of Europe is more or less reduplication free, more or less, because further research has to reveal whether this is just hidden somewhere in a certain style or register. Up until recently, Europe was thought of as an area from which total reduplication was absent or at best rarely used. Current research, however, reveals that total reduplication is a shibboleth which divides Europe into a relatively reduplication-free central area and a sizable periphery in which total reduplication occurs with high frequency. It was the evidence, exactly the evidence we had from Maltese that made us look at other languages, and then we found out that the neighboring languages of Maltese are also frequent users of total reduplication. It was because of Maltese that we came across this feature in Europe. The Maltese predilection for total reduplication is a common feature of the languages spoken in the Mediterranean basin and further east. In addition, languages on the westernmost outskirts of the continent are also reduplication prone. The preference for total reduplication is shared by languages of very diverse genetic affiliation. There are Indo-European and non-Indo-European languages alike. So this is now very difficult, this one. This is about commutative instrumental syncretism, and I probably fail to explain it in a transparent way. Let's look at English first. English with is a preposition which is used to express not only relations of accompaniment, so going along with somebody, but also the use of tools to hit somebody with a hammer, for example. You use with in both cases. Two functions are fulfilled by one and the same means of expression. That's called syncretism, technically. Worldwide, it is the normal constellation to keep both functions formally distinct. The English syncretism is thus typologically marked. It's an exception. It's the same in German and many other Indo-European languages, but outside the Indo-European languages of Europe, it occurs relatively rarely. So we can say that above 85% of the world's languages have a different solution to the problem, a solution different from the one given by English. Maltese is different from English as it employs two prepositions, ma and be, as translation equivalents of English with. Simplifying, ma is the commutative relator and be is the instrumental relator. Sheen kont nilta'a, ma shihad kont name, experiment fu'u, bit disintiei. Ma shihad is the commutative. There's a human being involved that has the same activity as the subject. And this here, bit disin, that's of course not a human actor. That is something that is used to carry out an action. The test, the experiment is carried out by using this picture. So you use the B predominantly for instrumental purposes and the ma predominantly, but not only, predominantly for commutative purposes. So this situation is much more complicated on the European map, as you see, because there are a number of solutions around. Like English is the bulk of these languages here, and then in the East. You see, like English, you find a number of other Indo-European languages, and then the neighboring non-Indo-European languages here, and so on. But what's more interesting for you is, of course, Maltese. There are several other languages which distinguish two uses, the two meanings of English with formally distinct markers, and this is, besides Maltese, it is Basque, Serbo-Croatian, Armenian, and then this group, mostly composed of Slavic languages plus Finnish. So you find a relatively huge area here in the European East, on the Balkans, far away in the Caucasian region, in the south, and in the extreme west. So there is no continuous area here, but Maltese is not alone in Europe in distinguishing the two uses of English with formally. The use of two distinct relators for comitative and instrumental is relatively rare in Europe. Most of the languages behave like English and thus instantiate the syncretistic, so-called syncretistic pattern. This holds for much of Western and Southern Europe and the easternmost regions. These two major areas are split in two by a wedge formed by asyncretic languages. Sandwiched between the two major types are languages which display evident signs of transition from asyncretic to syncretic. These languages are not so interesting for us. In the south, Maltese is isolated from the rest of the other asyncretic languages. These are mostly Slavic languages, Finnish, Basque, and Armenian. That is, Maltese forms a class with both Indo-European and non-Indo-European languages. So suppletive ordinals, that's the last map for features before we come to the cluster map. In many languages, ordinal numerals for firsts and so on are directly derived from the cardinal number. You see that in English, the cardinal number is 1, the ordinal is first. You can't derive first from 1 because there is no phonological or morphological tie between the two words. But you can do that for 3 and third. Historically, third is derived from 3. It's no longer synchronically because there's no valid phonological rule to do that, but you can see that there is a connection, a historical connection between third and 3. And if you take 9 and 9th, you can see there is a valid rule. Every other ordinal number is derived from the respective cardinal number. So that's the system. However, in quite a few languages, some of the ordinals do not obey the general rules of derivation from the cardinal counterparts. This holds especially for expressions of first and second. You sometimes find other ordinals as well, but first and second are at the core of the deviating type. Maltese is a language which derives its ordinals from the cardinals with the exception of first. You have wehead and lowell. Lowell can't be derived directly from wehead, but you can derive itini from name and itilet from tlita. That's no problem, and that goes on like this, although there is no phonological root, but you can see that there is an historical connection between these forms. Now, let's have a look. The majority of languages shows suppletion for the positions of first and second. So you find languages like Norwegian, Sami, Latvian, Lithuanian, Hungarian, which have non-derived expressions for first and second, like English, first and second. Second can't be derived from two. Then there are there is another group of languages where this impossibility to derive the ordinal from the cardinal is restricted to first. This is Maltese, Albanian, Basque, my native German, Frisian, Dutch, and Scots Gaelic. Interesting combination, and Romanian, Georgian, and Armenian. And this group here is in the majority composed of Turkic languages, Altaic languages, and Kurdish, where there is a regular derivation of all ordinals from the cardinals. Even the one for first is derived directly from one. In the majority of the European languages, suppletive formation of ordinals covers the first two positions, namely first and second. This is the situation found in an extended central area. On the fringes of this area, there are little pockets in which languages occur whose suppletive pattern is restricted to first. In addition, there is an eastern area where languages do not show any trace of suppletion. Suppletion is the relation where you can't directly derive something from something else. For this feature, Maltese belongs to the same class as Albanian, Romanian, Scots Gaelic, some Germanic languages, Armenian, Georgian, and Basque. There is no direct link to the otherwise preferred partners in contact in the Mediterranean. Now we come to the cluster map. We have seen 10 different features. Every feature had an individual map, so no two maps were identical as to the isoglosses you saw there. So what can we derive from these 10 features? One decision is to count how often does Maltese side with a particular language. Statistics, easy statistics, no language shares all features with Maltese, but no language fails to share at least three features with Maltese. So there are no real incompatibilities between the languages of Europe and Maltese. Then next is neighboring Romance languages score highest, and far off non-Indo-European languages come last. So you don't believe me because you haven't seen that. And there is a table. Could you just put on the table? You see there are 10 features reported for Maltese. A boldface is used to indicate non-Indo-European languages. Italics are used for Romance languages. All the others are normal type. There's just one case. Maltese is identical with itself. That's the whole story. There's not a single language that shares 9 features with Maltese. It starts with 8, and then there are already 2, and these are neighbors of Maltese, although there is some water in between. There is Sardinian and Italian. Sardinian and Italian share exactly the same features with Maltese, so that's one. Then it goes down to 7 features. There is already a more sizable group, 6 languages. Again, one Romance language, Romanian, but then there are other languages spoken on the Balkans, relatively near to Malta, and 2 languages far off, Frisian in the northern part of Germany, and Finnish in the northern part of Europe. Then comes the largest group. 6 features are shared by 18 languages. Again, a number of Romance languages, Portuguese, Spanish, Catalan, Romance, that's Rhaeto-Romance. The other Indo-European languages like Greek, Kurdish, Slovak, Czech, German, Dutch, Danish, Swedish, Norwegian, Scots, Gaelic, Irish, Welsh, Breton, and just one non-Indo-European language. Then we have the average of 5, the potential average. 12 languages have 5 features in common with Maltese. Again, 2 Romance languages, Occitan and French. Another long list of further Indo-European languages like Armenian, Lithuanian, Ukrainian, Russian, Belarusian, Polish, Faroese, Icelandic, English, and one non-Indo-European language, Estonian. Then we are going down. 4 features shared by 4 languages, Slovenian, Latvian, and 2 non-Indo-European languages, Basque and Sami. And the group with the lowest number of similarities with Maltese is entirely made up of non-Indo-European languages, namely Turkish, Tatar, Azeri, Chuvash, Bashkir, Mordvin, and Georgian. So there is some kind of genetic correlation because the non-Indo-European languages tend to have less features in common with Maltese than the Indo-European languages tend to have. And the top-ranking candidates are Romance languages, and they are Romance languages spoken in the vicinity of Maltese. Now let's have a look at the cluster map. So I'm trying to translate the table into a geographical map. It was very difficult because I couldn't use my color printer for that purpose. It blew up in a way. So I had to use this kind of compromise. You see there's Maltese, 10 features. And now look, the languages with 8 features are spoken immediately next door, Sardinian and Italian. Those spoken, those sharing 7 features are not direct neighbors in the same sense as Italian and Sardinian, but their area connects to the one occupied by Italian and Sardinian, Albanian, Macedonian, Bulgarian, Romanian. Then we have to go up to the north, and these languages are, of course, far off. But let's say up until Romanian, that's fine, because they're still near to Maltese. And the same holds for the group of languages with 6 features. That's Greek, that closes the gap here, and the Ibero-Romance languages, Catalan, Spanish, Portuguese, connect to these areas here. And then in the north, the next area with 6, this one with 6, and then there is Kurdish. This is the odd one out in a way, because that's far off. There's Turkish in between. Then you get the fivers here. That's Serbo-Croatian, some Romance languages, English and Polish, Icelandic Faroese, and what else? Estonian, Belarusian, Russian, Lithuanian, Ukrainian, Armenian. And what you notice here is that these areas with decreasing numbers of shared features somehow form the picture of a center and a periphery. The more the number of shared features diminishes, the farther away the languages are spoken on the mainland, farther away from Maltese. That is not really 100% true of each and every language of the sample, but you can find a certain tendency. The farther away you get from Maltese, the lower the number of similarities. This is, of course, true with the last group, with three features. You find all of these languages in the east of Europe. They're spoken there, far east, and all of them belong to non-Indo-European phyla. Now we come to the conclusions. As you see, Maltese fits in well with the aerial preferences in Europe because it goes very often along with the majority solution in Europe. Not always, but very often. It behaves like large groups of other European languages. It's not a loner in a way, so it is practically never a typological loner in Europe. There's always at least a small group of other languages that share the feature representative of Maltese. It particularly joins Indo-European languages in their isoglosses. It disfavors convergence with non-Indo-European languages. It converges most often with its immediate neighbors on the European map. And it gives precedence to combinations with members of the Romance phylum. Now the last, transparency. It does not always go along with its next-door neighbors and Italo-Romans because, you know, there are only 8 shared features as a maximum and not 10. Features. It displays certain features which are untypical for Mediterranean and or Indo-European languages, just a small number of features. And now we can conclude, typologically, Maltese belongs to the majority of the European languages without losing its individual traits. It is a member of the extended European linguistic area. It is a so-called standard average European language plus. It's not really at the core of the standard average European, but it belongs to the extended version of SAE languages. Thank you very much.
Campus FM għadu kan waslilkom l-aħħar taħdita minn serje ta' taħdidiet organizzati mid-Dipartiment tal-Malti fl-Università flimkien mal-Kunsill Nazzjonali tal-Isem Malti. It-taħdita kienet iġġib l-isem Linguistic Typology, Where Does Maltese Belong? Fejn il-kellem ewlieni kien il-Professur Thomas Stoltz.